This is WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
That's just some of the chanting by members of the Purdue Anti-Racism Coalition and supporters as they marched on campus Monday. Part of the demonstration included a list of demands they're making of the university administration. Joining me to talk about this and other issues is Purdue President Mitch Daniels. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Mike.
And we should start off by saying you've been out of town. You've been in Washington, D.C. for a longstanding commitment, and you missed the events of earlier this week.
Right. I was very intense 2.5-day program. I was asked to be co-chairman of the National Academy of Sciences Human Space Commission. And although I've been trying to be very careful about any outside activities with so much to do here, this seemed like, first, a huge honor, and secondly, an important way to promote Purdue and to put our university back in the forefront of an area where we have such a proud heritage.
But obviously you were kept abreast of the situation here and the march and whatnot.
Yeah.
What was your impression of some 200, 250 people that took part in this on Monday?
Well, we're going to be a free speech university, and that means for everybody. And so I thought in that sense it was absolutely, of course, an appropriate exercise of the First Amendment rights that we intend to protect here as well as any school does.
Then, not even 24 hours later, there was an incident that the Purdue police are investigating as a possible hate crime. Some derogatory comments written on one of the signs left at the display that the protesters left outside Hovde Hall. What would you make of that?
Well, I was relieved when the first one turned out to be a complete mistake, and I was disappointed when the second one happened at all. And I really wish that by one means or another, we know who did it, could act on that. Maybe that'll still happen. But in the strongest words, people have told me the strongest words ever used by Purdue, I said what I thought about it. And if it's what it appeared to be, what I thought about the person who did it. And I just wish that we would have a chance to go further and to act on those convictions.
Would it be something else if somebody came out and publicly said this? Again, I don't know what the racial slur is, and obviously you don't want to offend people, but an honest dialogue, as you said, free speech.
Well, people have to have a right to say things, and there is a difference between behavior and words. But, you know, my point of view is I'm not surprised that when this happens, it's done surreptitiously, because the person knows that if they did it openly, they would be denounced, ostracized, and maybe worse, and that I would lead the denunciation. So it's a cowardly way and to express oneself. But I think that's just because people know that as a community, Purdue doesn't tolerate these things, and we're determined not to.
Have you had much chance to look over this list of demands, seven demands from the coalition?
Well, sure. I met with them on the first week in office. It's the same list we saw then, so I'm aware of their desires.
What can be done, I guess, to meet them?
Well, I met the first one, I believe. The first one was that we make the university's position, and I express it as clear as it can be. And again, I've said this. I've said how unacceptable such behavior is in two or three ways, and I've been here 100 days. Those who've been here much longer say that this is the clearest, strongest language that university has ever used. So that's demand number one. And, if we haven't met that one, I'm not sure how anybody ever could.
And zero tolerance, I think, was the second half of that, which you've basically said.
Yeah. So that's a start.
One of the people I talked to Monday, I interviewed, wanted me to ask you a question, but instead I just recorded him. And this is Chris Warren. He's a teacher and a PhD student, I believe, in the American Studies program. And here's his question.
Mitch Daniels, do you believe that your non-white students are equal in ability, intelligence, and will to all of the other students at Purdue University? And if you do, why do you need diversity and affirmative action to bring them to your university?
Well, I do believe, yes, they're equivalent in ability, and I think in general the academic track record here shows that. every school in America has got a program by one name or another, affirmative action or diversity. Every school I know aimed at trying to increase the national underrepresentation of certain groups. And I haven't found a subject on which people more unanimously agree here than that we want to do steadily better in this area. And this university, as I look now, you know, look back into what we have done and are doing, I can't find a subject really on which more time, energy, money has been invested. So the commitment is very sincere, but Chris wants to know, why is it necessary? Why is it necessary everywhere? There are a lot of problems here, and they're not Purdue's fault. Failures of the K-12 system, social breakdown, the prevalence of single-parent families, things that lead directly to academic struggles. There are all kinds of societal problems, and like every other school I know of, Purdue's working hard to assist young people in overcoming them.
I talked about this with Provost Sands when he was acting president, and he mentioned that, you know, we're trying to go after underrepresented minority professors as well as students, but so is everybody else. I mean, so how much really can you do?
It's true. Yeah. Again, every school is competing aggressively for the same disappointingly small pool. You know, Chris wants to know, are the students who are here equal to the other students? Yes, but they're... there are far too few students who are up to Purdue standards. We've just got to do better. I've certainly already looking for ways to raise our scholarship money so we can offer more assistance to students like this. Mike, I have sat home at Westwood night after night after night this spring, calling minority students in their homes who we have admitted and urging them to come to Purdue. I think I've actually convinced a few. And I know we've got some of the deans doing it. I don't know topic on which people are more sincerely united in trying to do better.
Does the topic come up in these conversations with the admitted students but not making that final step? Do they ever talk about the climate on campus? I mean, do any of these racial issues come up with the incoming freshmen?
Honestly, no, never. But I guess one could say that they're not in a position to judge whether it's fully welcoming or not till they get here. But the honest answer is no. No one's ever asked me about that.
What can be done to improve the climate? I mean, you're talking about 30,000 students plus.
You're talking about 40,000 students, 50,000 of us in all. Plus, we have neighbors, you know, around the school and at campus and that's open. So If somebody writes something, we have no idea of knowing whether it was a student, a faculty member, a staff member, a neighbor. We just don't know when the person doesn't have the courage to say something in the open. Well, I think what we have to do is work hard on affirming what we are and what we believe. I happen to believe, it's my observation, that in the overwhelming majority, and I mean overwhelming, this is a campus committed to respect for all. I see it everywhere I go. Now, 50,000 people plus some neighbors, they're going to be on any subject. They're going to be somebody who doesn't measure up. So we just have to, where we can, make it plain to those people. They really need to either keep it to themselves or maybe they'd be more at home somewhere else.
The university does have a division of diversity and inclusion and many programs.
An enormous set of programs. In fact, the board, I know, once asked for a total tally and nobody could produce one. I mean, so people are active and enthusiastic on this in each college and in multiple areas. So to the extent that those sorts of efforts can help, they're certainly being made.
I don't know how to ask this because I understand the question and the answer you're probably going to give, but I mean, what personally does this mean to you when you have underrepresented or minority students saying, I don't feel safe or I don't feel welcomed?
It's very disappointing. And one hopes that it is that the vast majority of our underrepresented minorities and others do feel safe and well. I'm meeting a very broad cross-section of students, and I won't say it never comes up, but it very, very rarely does, and sometimes I ask. So, you know, one person feeling that way is too many, and we just have to keep working on it. But we have to be thoughtful about what will be effective and be careful not to take steps that are more divisive than they are effective.
What can we do as far as fostering communication and open communication? I mean, is this something you'd bring up as a President's Forum topic, or how would you like to see
it play
out?
My guess is it has been. I mean, it is discussed all the time everywhere that I go on this campus. And, you know, tomorrow I'll be celebrating a successful program at noontime with the folks who have been working to bring more women and minority to the faculty in a specific college. And just the most recent of many. I've invested a lot of time, not only meeting with the group that organized the activities this week, but the Black graduate student group. I was at their annual event. I was at the anniversary of the Latino Cultural Center. I was at the open house of the Black Cultural Center, and, you know, a host of other things, trying hard to indicate a support for what they're doing.
I want to switch topics. You mentioned you've been here 100 days, and you've had...
I wasn't counting, but the newspaper did.
Some of it is. I was doing it for you.
Yeah.
And you had the 6 months prior to actually your first starting date. Do you have plans to set out a specific agenda or a strategic plan, I guess would be the proper wording? Any idea as to where you want to go directionally?
Sure. Read my open letter from the first week and look at my contract, in which my pay will get docked for less than perfect performance in very specific areas. What are those areas? Affordability for students, student success, the overall excellence, reputation, and impact of the university category. These are the kinds of categories that are there. Fundraising. So the first of those comprise really, I think, the heart of our agenda, and then the activities that will go toward them. For instance, trying to offer more courses in the summer, improving steadily both our programs for freshmen and sophomores to identify and help those who might struggle, our student support programs really throughout the 4 years, all aimed at higher rates of graduation, more prompt graduation, these sorts of things. And you've talked about something strategic right now. Our investments in the School of Engineering may be the biggest in America, and they're certainly a huge step forward for what's already one of the world's most renowned programs. So these are top agenda items.
And would you consider the Campus Master Plan or the Capital Improvements Plan also part of that?
I would view that as a means to the end. Buildings are not ends, or they? I don't think they should be. They should be chosen and built for very necessary purposes, and we'll have some of those. But I would not view a master plan, I think we have a good one, as a goal in itself. It's an enabler of what we're here for. Great students, great research, impact on society, all at a affordable cost.
Purdue President Mitch Daniels, thanks so much for coming in.
Anytime.
You're listening to WBAA. I'm Mike Lowitzo.